Okay, welcome back to our experience Shabbat Shir. And so this evening, what I wanted to do was spend a little time discussing the notion of noise on Shabbos, and in particular, to answer the question of, is Shabbos a day of silence? Meaning, are we supposed to be making a lot of noise on Shabbos, or are we supposed to be making a little bit of noise on Shabbos? This is the question that I wanted to grapple with. And our sugya really begins from the Gemara in Shabbos on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara famously notes that there are a number of things that are permissible to do on Shabbos, but gives one example of something that is totally prohibited on Shabbos. I won't read through the Gemara, but I'll just give some of the examples that the Gemara lists. It says, Poskin Mayim Lagina Erev Shabbos im Chashecha, that one can sort of open up a waterway that's going to pass through a garden on Shabbos, and you can do that, so you can... The water is going to pass through the garden, but you can set this up before Shabbos, and that's going to be taking place then on Shabbos. And then the Gemara goes further and says that Dumanichin Mugmar Tachas Akelim Erev Shabbos, you can put incense and like different herbs on coals to produce a delicious smell on Shabbos. All these things that are permissible, but the Gemara concludes by saying, Aval Ein Nos Nchitin Letoch Harichayim Shalmayim. Right, one should not be placing wheat kernels into a water mill on Erev Shabbos unless he does it in a way that they're definitely going to all be ground up while it's still Friday and that none of it will be taking place on Shabbos. So after the Gemara goes through this section of giving all of these things that are permissible and then says, but by the way, this one seemingly random act of putting these grains in a water mill is going to be prohibited, the Gemara wants to know, my time, why are we so strict about this? Amar Rabba, the Gemara explains, two reasons gives the Gemara. Mipnei shemashma'as kol. One is because we're going to be making a lot of noise on Shabbos, and we don't like making noise on Shabbos. The Gemara does not explain further, but that's what Rabba's opinion is. Amar li Rav Yosef, v'leima mar mishum shvisas kelim. And Rav Yosef, he goes on, but we'll just leave it at that. But Rav Yosef basically says that maybe the reason why we don't like allowing the water mill to be working on Shabbos is because perhaps we hold of an idea of Shvisas Kelim. We know that we have the obligation to rest on Shabbos. We know that our animals have an obligation through our actions to rest on Shabbos. And so too, perhaps, the Gemara entertains the idea, Rav Yosef entertains, maybe there's an obligation to rest our vessels, rest our Kelim, and therefore one cannot use their water mill on Shabbos because it's not going to be resting. So that's what he entertains. However, it seems like we most likely paskin like Rabba because we don't usually hold of the idea of Shvisas Kelim that our vessels need to rest on Shabbos, a larger sugya that we're not going to go in now of why I say that's true, but we'll just leave it at that. But what's most interesting for us is Rabba's opinion, and that is that there is noise that is created by this watermill on Shabbos, and we don't like creating noise. What is this all about? Why don't we like creating noise on Shabbos? So Rashi there on the Gemara says, "Mipnei shemashma'as hasakol," because of all this loud noise, "Varsha milsa b'Shabbos v'ikazilus." It's going to be a disgrace for Shabbos to have such loud noise. So in other words, you think about it, we don't yet know what this value is about Shabbos, but evidently there is some imperative, there is some value to make sure that there are not loud trucks driving by, that there's not loud noises coming out of this wall and that wall and all around. And the reason is because that will some way, shape, or form be a disgrace to Shabbos. Now, with that said, before we try to understand it, how do we paskin? What is the approach that we take modern days? So the Shulchan Aruch does not believe in this idea at all. He actually says explicitly against the text of the Gemara that we just read, "Umutar latit chitin l'toch rechayim shalmayim samach l'chashecha." One is allowed to put the wheat kernels into the watermill close to Shabbos, and seemingly there's no real concern. Let's say it makes noise. Okay, it makes noise. Everyone knows that you didn't mean to do it. Maybe you'll walk away. It doesn't have to be right next to your Shabbos table. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying that it's totally permissible. The Rama, however, is the one who makes things a little bit more difficult for us Ashkenazim, in that he seems to be a little more stringent, not totally stringent, not the exact opposite of the Shulchan Aruch, but basically he positions it in a lichachila b'diyevet situation. He says, First, he gives the explanation for the Shulchan Aruch. He says, why is the Shulchan Aruch so lenient and allows this grain to be placed in a water mill? He says, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and one could seemingly assume that we're not so concerned about making so much noise on Shabbos, but he does, at the end of the day, say, one should ideally try to be careful so as not to make too much noise on Shabbos, and he gives an additional reason that we'll say outside because of the fact that we don't want anyone to think for a moment that this loud noise was caused by us on Shabbos. Since we're concerned that someone might think that I did the malacha of creating this noise on Shabbos, we say better not to allow it to happen on Shabbos at all, even if I am not the one who is specifically starting it. And therefore, we basically find that there is one of two concerns when it comes to loud, noisy objects or loud, noisy, malacha-oriented things that are taking place on Shabbos, even if I did not set them up on Shabbos itself. Right? Everyone agrees you can't set these things up on Shabbos, but even before Shabbos, one can't even do it because A, we don't like loud noise on Shabbos in general, or B, because we don't want anyone to be choshish, to suspect us that maybe we actually set up this prohibited action on Shabbos itself. So we say, just don't do it. The Ramah says, lechachila, avoid it, b'di'evit, if you did it, okay, maybe we can allow it, but in the Shulchan Aruch, what's seemingly say it's okay, but the Ramah says, I prefer that no one does it at all. And the Mishnah Berurah basically explains, quoting the idea that we just saw in Rashi a little bit ago, that klal bazeh kol kayotze bazeh hamashmiya kol dav shemilsa v'ikazilus l'shabsa. The whole idea here of making noise on Shabbos is because it's going to be disgraceful to Shabbos. But he does explain that ultimately, if one would do something on behalf through a non-Jewish person, meaning he tells his non-Jewish person to go turn on the watermill and crunch up the grain on Friday going into Shabbos, so seemingly that would probably be permissible because this whole thing not to do it is just like a rabbinic idea, because we don't want someone to be choshesh, to suspect you that you did it, or maybe then there's noise associated. But if you have a non-Jewish person do it, what? So we living in America, we don't tell the non-Jewish people they can't drive their trucks down the road. We can't create our own noise. We can't do these actions that might be foreseen as prohibited. But if a non-Jewish person does them, okay, it is what it is. So we ultimately see that noise is something we try to avoid from our own personal selves, and we also try to avoid doing anything that looks like it could be a violation of a prohibition on Shabbos. Even doing it before Shabbos, we try to avoid all these things. So the two questions left that we really have to understand and deal with is, number one, what does this apply to, right? Most of us are not worried about putting the grains in the water mill, so how does this apply to us nowadays? And number two, and this is what we want to get to ultimately, and what is this really all about? Why is there this concern of making noise on Shabbos? So to answer the first question of how does this apply to our lives, there are really several areas where this does apply. The first and probably the most well-known and famous, well-known to those who have heard it, but maybe you haven't heard it and then it's not well-known, and that is alarm clocks on Shabbos. Can one set their alarm clock to wake them up on Shabbos morning? Let's say, you know, especially now, Shabbos starts late and you're going to have a late meal. You finish at 1 o'clock in the morning. You could go to sleep at 2 o'clock, and before you know it, it's time for Shacharis. You want to make sure you wake up on time. So are we allowed to set an alarm clock on Shabbos? You'll say, oh, what's the problem? Well, there's a clear problem, because you're literally violating both of these things. A, perhaps someone will think that you set it on Shabbos before you went to sleep, maybe. And B, you're creating a lot of noise. I thought we don't like doing these things, especially you have different types of alarm clocks. Some make more noise than others. So what is the perspective over here? Sort of Moshe Feinstein, very famously, he is very stringent in many of these areas that are related to this sugya. He says that one should not really be setting an alarm clock on Shabbos. Why should you not be setting an alarm clock on Shabbos? Because of everything we discussed so far. There's a lot of prohibitions that could theoretically be associated with it. Don't bother with it. Don't get involved with it at all. However, the Shulchan Halevi, Rav Belsky Zatzal, explains, quoting this opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who prohibits alarm clocks, and he basically says that even though alarm clocks should be prohibited, or were prohibited perhaps, according to Rav Moshe, in Rav Moshe's day, nowadays it's clear that alarm clocks would be permissible. Here's what he says. Amnam, kayom. Nowadays we have our alarm clocks, we have our iPhones, we have our clock radios, whatever they are. Sha'al pi rov hasha'onim mituchaninim merosh le'esrim ve'arba sha'os ve'in sarich b'chol pa'am l'chonin es ha'pa'amon she'yif'ol es pula so. How do alarm clocks work nowadays? I don't need to set my alarm clock the night before. I could set, nowadays, forget about it. I could set my alarm clock 3 months before. It doesn't make a difference. And therefore, as a result, no one's going to be thinking for a moment that I set my alarm clock on Shabbos. We're not concerned about that. Lachein ein shum makom lachshov kisheshomim es apamon mitzaltzel baboker shenasta kan izo malacha b'Shabbos. So therefore, we don't have to be concerned about the alarm clock going off on Shabbos. Maybe someone will think that I violated a malacha. And it would seem like there's also not really a concern of the noise that it makes. Again, if someone has a alarm clock going off on Shabbos that like the entire block hears, then okay, there might be serious prohibitions associated with it potentially, but the average human being who has an alarm clock, who sets an alarm clock for themselves on Shabbos morning or any morning throughout the week, it's not that loud, and therefore there is a lot of reason to be lenient. This also, this prohibition of making noise would also apply to many other areas on Shabbos that we should try to be sensitive to, right? Is one allowed to leave their dryer running going into Shabbos, leave a dishwasher running going into Shabbos? Is one allowed to turn on an air conditioner or have an air conditioner turned on for them on Shabbos? So there are some various serious considerations that go into all of these questions. Just to, not to scare anyone, certainly as we're going into the warmer summer months, you are allowed to use an air conditioner on Shabbos. But that whole question of the creation of noise through the air conditioner, that is something that would be related to this sugya. What about something that is near and dear to my heart? Baruch Hashem, we have three little children at home, and we use noise machines to make sure that they sleep soundly and that they are not disturbed in their sleep. So is someone allowed to use a noise machine on Shabbos? Meaning, again, not putting it on Shabbos, but can you turn it on before Shabbos so that it goes the entire Shabbos? And so why would this be a prohibition? Well, you say, you can't make noise on Shabbos. The machine is literally called a noise machine. So is it allowed? So there's a beautiful essay written by Rabbi Moshe David Leibovitz, who I got a number of the sources from for this year, and he says that there are hotels, evidently, where they use sound machines, and so there are some from Jews who go to these hotels, and they're there on Shabbos, and the reason why the hotel uses the sound machine is because they want to block out sound from one room to the next. So are you allowed to be in these hotels on Shabbos? And he basically says two reasons why this is permissible. Number one, no one's going to think that you turned the sound machine on Shabbos. Clearly, the hotel is the one that did it. And number two, the whole idea of a sound machine, of a noise machine, is in order to make your Shabbos experience nicer, so that you don't hear the outside noise, and so that you're not distracted. And therefore, if someone is using a sound machine, a noise machine, to allow themselves to sleep better, again, that they set before Shabbos, seemingly that would be permissible, because it can only have positive benefits on Shabbos, and therefore you should... presumably one can be lenient. Another relevant question for those parents that have children, and this gets even more complicated nowadays with very, very sophisticated technology, but going back in the days a little bit to just the intercoms, like the walkie-talkie kind of things that people put in babies' rooms, are you allowed to use that on Shabbos? You see, again, what's the problem with that? Well, very simple. If I have a walkie-talkie in my room, and the kids' room is, the 100 feet away from my room, so I probably won't hear them at night, but I put up this walkie-talkie, and now all of a sudden I hear this loud crying, so I'm essentially creating a loud noise, walking into a situation where there will be a loud noise on Shabbos. Is this permissible? And so again, Rabbi Leibovitz, and he quotes many opinions, seem to say that it is permissible to have a baby intercom on Shabbos, but this is not something that is across the board permitted. For example, there are those who would say, if you don't need walkie-talkie, but rather it just makes you, it makes it a little bit easier, then perhaps there are certain prohibitions associated. Certainly nowadays, when it comes to the more sophisticated technology, like when you have video, you could see the baby on a video on a screen and not just hear the sound. There are many potential prohibitions associated with it. So again, some would say that at least the walkie-talkie model would be permissible, but again, some might prohibit it because it does create an unnecessary noise on Shabbos. Okay, with all of that said, that was all sort of an introduction to get to the part that I wanted to speak about, and that is, how are we meant to interpret and understand the role of noise on Shabbos? Why are we so anti-noise on Shabbos? Like, it feels like you could have taken any other topic and any other thing. I don't know, maybe we're anti-having bad smells on Shabbos, and so therefore you have to make sure to clean out your fridge. Okay, maybe you should do that anyways. But why? What's the problem with noise that it's so bad that we associate a real prohibition with it, and it seems to evidently impact us in many areas? And so what I would like to posit is that this prohibition of noise is not just simply about noise, but it's also about valuing silence itself. We value the ideal of silence so much that we understand we may not be able to appreciate and recognize it and get to it every day of the week, but on Shabbos, we do our best to find silence as often as possible. Why is that? Why do we value silence so much? So there are several different sources that we can point to. I'm going to quote for you two Mishnayos from Pirkei Avos, both in the first chapter. One is a statement from Shammai. Excuse me. Shammai Omer, Asei Torah Eschat Keva. So Shammai says that one should make sure their Torah learning is set, that they always have a set time to sit and learn Torah. And then he says, Emor Me'at Ve'asei Harbei. One should say very little and do a lot, right? Most people say a lot and do very little. He says the ideal is that one should speak just a little bit and one's actions should be greater, right? Actions speak louder than words. Our life should be filled with action and very little speaking. Then there is another statement of Shimon, and he says Shimon beno Omer, Shimon the son of Rabban Gamliel says, Kol yamei gadalti bein hachachamim. He said, my entire life I grew up in the most elite groups among the rabbanim, velo matzasi leguf tov, and the most ideal quality that I found for the body that one can have is elashtika, silence. For a person to be quiet, for a person to basically choose not to speak as much as possible, that is the most ideal quality that a person can have. And so evidently there's something that's very serious about being silent, very serious about not speaking too much and not creating so much noise, both outwardly, both externally and internally, that we try to not bring so much speaking, so much noise and so much sound on Shabbos and in general. So this idea also seems to go beyond Jewish values. There's a fascinating essay that I wrote, called The Moral Value of Silence, written by someone named Felix Adler, and he quotes at the beginning, it's actually, a speech that was given in the late 1800s that was transcribed, and the speech opens up with a story about Pythagoras, right? We all know the Pythagorean theorem. So he says, Pythagoras, among the ancients, united men in voluntary association for the purpose of realizing through such fellowship the moral end of life. So he had a group of people together that they were trying to lead a moral ethical life, and he made it a condition that everyone who desired to join his order, he wanted to join his sect, his religion, said before he could be admitted, should attest his worthiness by preserving silence during 5 years. Nay, he allowed no one to see his face who had not successfully passed through this trying test. And so evidently we see from here, and again, there are many other areas that we are aware of in other cultures, right? Monks that take a vow of silence, and there's even a concept in Judaism of a tainus dibor, that one can fast by not eating, but one can also fast by not speaking. It's clear that silence is something that we really appreciate. And there's an additional article that I found online, written by some psychologist, Dr. Marilyn Price Mitchell, and she says, she quotes a story about she was in a mall, this was written a couple years ago, and she says that she was in a mall recently and she saw a whole bunch of kids walking together, but not a single one of them was talking to the other one. They were all texting, they weren't paying attention to the other ones. And she says that one of them tripped as they were going down the escalator because they were just texting while they were going down, and she writes as follows. I thought it was such a fascinating insight, something that we're not familiar with, but I think it's important to sort of go over it. She says, as I watched with interest in this new phenomenon that allows us to engage in multiple modes of connectivity at once, I chuckled to myself when one of the boys fell into a girl as he tripped getting off the escalator. The mishap occurred because he was texting while walking, sometimes as hazardous as texting while driving. The teens laughed too, and they quickly returned to their respective conversations on mobile devices. She says, it's mind-boggling to imagine how many conversations were happening while those eight teens walked through the shopping center. But what's more important is to ask the question, when do young people find time to be in silence, to reflect on who they are in a world with constant chatter? And basically, she goes on to say that the function of self-reflection is to make meaning, that the creation of meaning is at the heart of what it means to be human. For a person to be able to reflect on who they are, what they are, the experiences they have, one needs to take a step back, be quiet, not say anything, and just allow their thoughts to roam, allow their mind to go through all the experiences that they have had. The notion of maintaining silence, of keeping quiet, of mindfulness, these are all very hip ideas. They've become a lot more popular in the world nowadays, but these are also very Jewish ideas as well. There are numerous sources that one can point to, and I want to share just a couple with you, and then we'll wrap it up. There's a beautiful book that I bought called The Handbook of Torah and Mental Health, written by Dr. David Rosmarin and Rabbi Dr. Saul Himoff. It's like a very small kind of book. I just have it right here. I bought it during the pandemic when I got much more into mental health and Judaism as a fusion of the topics together. And basically, they go through multiple different topics of mental health and their connection to Judaism. And he quotes the Ramchal in his Mesilas Yesharim, The Path of the Just. And he says as follows. This is the Ramchal speaking. I'll read it in English. The barriers to piety are distractions and worries. For when the mind is preoccupied and distressed with anxieties and daily affairs, it is impossible to find mental space for reflection, and reflection is the prerequisite for spiritual growth. And then this is now the author speaking. Here in the Ramchal's famous guidebook for spiritual growth, he warns of the detriments of mental preoccupation. He preaches the importance of having downtime and mental respite from daily worries, for it is in moments of introspection that we can reflect on our lives. Modern culture, especially in fast-paced urban areas, tends to overvalue productivity and efficiency, leading to hasty activity, tight schedules, and little time to reflect. And he goes on and on, and I want to share just one more source with you, and that is from another book that I bought throughout the pandemic called Living in the Presence, written by Dr. Benjamin Epstein. And he said, here's the book, it's a nice book. He says in the back of the book, the appendix, it's called Hashtaka, the subject of quieting the mind. And in this chapter, he quotes the Piazetzner Rebbe, Rabbi Kalanimus Kalman Shapira from the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto, and he quotes a quote from this Rebbe, and I'm going to read for you basically the quote from this Rebbe. He says as follows, the Admor of Blessed Memory began at that time with the statement of our sages, that a dream is a 60th part of prophecy. That which blocks a person from an influx from above is his sense of self. The greatest obstacle to sensing the closeness and awareness of God is the ego, man's own presence, right? So in other words, why am I not able to connect to God so well? Because I hinder that for myself. He says further, because of that, if a person's self-centered automatic thoughts and feelings are awake and reactive, it is difficult for the presence of God to enter into him from the higher world. However, when a person is asleep and his thoughts are quiet, then because he can no longer be preoccupied with his own thoughts of self, he may be able to have some presence of God in his mind and heart. The principal objective, therefore, is to reach that objective while you are awake, to be able, while you are awake, to come to that state of being asleep, right? So the notion of being asleep while one is awake, that's usually seen as negative in our culture. But essentially, what he was saying over there is that there is a certain ideal that we believe in and that we have in Judaism, that one should find moments to quiet their mind, to allow their mind to sleep, not to not be present, God forbid, but to allow their concerns, their anxieties, their inner monologue that doesn't stop, to just quiet that down as best as you can. And evidently, I would like to posit that Shabbos perhaps is meant to be this moment. It's meant to be this once a week, minimally, time of a check-in for us to silence everything around us, not just the noise, not just the loud sounds, that's a given, but even our own inner voices, even our own inner talking. Just quiet down. Take a step back. Take a deep breath. Shabbos is all about finding the quiet, finding the silence, so that we can allow ourselves to enter into a certain sense of self-reflection, to be in a state where we can listen not for our own voices, but where we can listen to Hashem's voice, Kaviyachol, speaking to us. Right? So if we go back now and reflect on what we spoke about this week and last week with talking about there are certain prohibitions associated with how we speak on Shabbos, what type of speech is allowed? What type of noise is allowed on Shabbos? Meaningful speech, meaningful sounds, meaningful conversations. Conversations with God, whether it's through davening or learning. Even conversations with one another that provide some enjoyment and that allow us to connect to another human being. But conversations and speech and noise that is just that, that's just noise, that's just sound, that kind of removes us from this world and removes us from our own sense of what we know we should be doing in life. That type of speech, that type of sound is really just noise that we're supposed to be canceling out on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we limit all of the loud noises, both internally and externally. We measure how we speak overall, and we limit our speech so that ultimately we should be able to create space to listen to Hashem and to strengthen the relationship that we have with one another and with Hashem himself. So we hope and pray that this coming Shabbos, God willing, will be a Shabbos of silence, not one of sitting in silence like monks, but of being able to push away the louder noise, to quiet our minds a little bit, to find stronger and deeper connections with one another and with Hashem. Wishing everyone a beautiful night and a beautiful Shabbos.